bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of adjustment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me check the talking text line because y'all was hollering at me and screaming. Okay, so. All right. Dimitri, this is for you. Life upon these shores, looking at African-American history, 1513 to 2008. I will be sure at the next break. You know I need to do this live on the radio, otherwise it won't get done. So let me do this. No, I haven't heard from Kawanda. Got to check on her. Fon said blacks might probably have better had it better earlier if we migrated to the Pacific Northwest. My parents left Jim Crow, Mississippi in the early 60s. My mother was born in the mid-1930s in Hertzboro, Alabama. My father was born in the early 1930s in Hertzboro, Alabama. Migrated to Chicago and lived next door to each other before they got married. So that's one of those little small tidbits that why families stay together, marry into each other, all that other stuff. So interesting. I find that interesting. Let's see. Yes, life upon these shores. Got it. Dimitri said the Great Depression, the economic meltdown of 2008. Here's what I want to do. I want a book that's there for you already have. I don't really care about that. I don't care for. Helping you, oh, see, I told you I was right because this book said it. Well, did the book say it? Or it you just only reading, just like you watch and do social media about the things that only matter to you. So if you only watch and read things that resonate with you, then that's all you get. It just reinforces what you already believe. That's called confirmation bias. I was about to bring up something very controversial, but I'm not. I'm going to be nice this time. Let's see. All right. 833-212-1017 is. Are we ready? We good? Guess I'll find out.
Number 5.
From WISN.com. So there's a criminal complaint that reveal break-ins that happened in July and August, many on consecutive nights. Well, Milwaukee man is facing 8 felony burglary charges, accused of break-ins at multiple Milwaukee restaurants. Adrian Garcia, 38, is accused of breaking into the restaurants after closing time, usually by breaking a window or door, the complaint says. So, according to the complaint, here they are. July 16th, McDonald's, 24th in Wisconsin. July 21st, McDonald's, 24th in Wisconsin. July 22nd, McDonald's, 22nd in Wisconsin. July 23rd, Taco Bell, 22nd in Wisconsin. I'm sorry, that was 24th, 22nd. Couple blocks. July 25th, McDonald's. Guess where it was? 24th in Wisconsin. 26th, Mayvelma's Corned Beef Restaurant, 27th in Michigan. 27th of July, Kilbourne Kitchen, 27th in Kilbourne. And August 15th, Frushen Cafe, 27th in Wells. What does that tell you? That tells you somebody walked from their house because they was a lazy criminal. Broke in and came back. According to the criminal complaint, an officer used surveillance video to identify Garcia as the burglar by using his appearance and distinctive clothing. Garcia appeared in court today where the judge set bond at $7,500. So, yeah. He made a career out of burglary, and now he'll make a career out of jail. He'll probably plead to, you know, like one of those and say, okay, I did it. And probably get about 5 years, and then be out in 3 with probation. Why? Because we don't punish people anymore. We keep crying about mass incarceration. Ask that to the businesses that lost the money.
Number 4.
This from CNN.com. A New York appeals court has now voided the roughly $500 million civil fraud penalty against Donald Trump. A New York appeals court threw out roughly the $500 million judgment against President Donald Trump in the civil trial case brought by the state's attorney general. Today's decision, which wasn't unanimous, leaves Trump still liable for fraud, and the judges upheld his liability and tossed the penalty so the case could move forward for further appellate review. New York Attorney General Letitia James plans to appeal the ruling. In a prevailing opinion, the judges wrote, while the injunctive relief ordered by the court is well-crafted to curb defendants' business culture, the court's disgorgement order, which directs that defendant to pay nearly $500 million to the state of New York, is an excessive fine that violates the 8th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. And so one of the things we have to understand is being found guilty of something civil is not like being found guilty of something criminal. Had Letitia James brought criminal charges, there's no way he would have been found guilty. Why is that? Because you have to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and 12 people have to say yes. In this one, it's kind of a majority. If you're 50.1% looks like you did it and everybody thinks you did it, you did it. And you really don't have to have any good proof. You just have to make it look like it. And that's why you have to be careful when you talk about civil forfeiture. Now, the flip side to that, you could be found guilty and you're guilty. The issue is a $500 million is excessive. We haven't gone after corporations that were worth trillions of dollars for that amount of money because it was done because they were vindictive. And that's when I talk about how your politics can mess up some of the good things you do. Because you are partisan and biased. And our Republican friends do the same thing. Now we're going after people and shutting down museums and doing all sorts of things that really make no sense. Really make no sense whatsoever. But yet, here we are.
Number 3.
I don't know if you know of this woman, because some of you aren't old enough, but here's a tidbit of history. Vivian Elizabeth Ayers Allen, Pulitzer Prize nominated poet, cultural activist, and mother of Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad, has died at the age of 102. Last night, Debbie shared the news on Instagram in a post that featured a photo montage of her mother through the years, set to Stevie Wonder's Golden Lady, and with the text, "Into the Eternal Light, Vivian Ayers." Vivian Ayers Allen was born July 29th, 1923, in Chester, South Carolina, known for her fierce dedication and artistic passion that shaped both her career and her family. After marrying Andrew Arthur Allen Sr., she welcomed four children, musician Andrew Tex Allen Jr., actress choreographer Debbie Allen, bank executive Hugh Allen, and actress Felicia Rashad, each of whom have achieved great success in their respective fields. Following their 1954 divorce, Ayers Allen continued to build a remarkable legacy as a Pulitzer Prize nominated poet, playwright, literary agent, that's what I know her as, activist, and cultural curator. If you want to read some of her poems, she wrote the poetry collection Spice of Dawns, earned her a Pulitzer Prize nomination. So she also wrote Hawk, an allegorical poem set in outer space, and in 1966 became the first black faculty member at Rice University in Houston. So this woman opened up doors and set paths that her children simply walked through. So we'll miss you. Those of you who don't know her, hey, it's Black History Today. Make sure you check her out. Vivian Ayers Allen, wonderful poet and a wonderful woman. My happiness came today. Came across an article about cell phones in school.
Number two.
From thegrio.com, 17 states have now restricted cell phone use as the school year begins. For students in 35 states, cell phone restrictions add new school day rituals, like putting phones in magnetic pouches or special lockers. You know what I would buy everybody? I would buy you a Faraday bag. You know what a Faraday bag is? A Faraday bag is a bag that you can drop anything electronic in, and once you seal it, no signals in, no signals out. You literally drop off the face of the earth. Jamal Bishop is seeing a big change in his classrooms as he begins his senior year at Doss High School in Louisville, where cell phones are now banned during instructional time. In previous years, students weren't paying attention, wasting class time, repeating questions. Now, teachers can provide more one-on-one time for students who actually need it. Kentucky is one of 17 states and the District of Columbia starting this year with new restrictions, bringing the total states to 35, with laws or rules limiting phones and other electronic devices. Florida became the first state to pass such law in 2023. Both Democrats and Republicans have taken up the cause, reflecting a growing consensus that phones are bad for children's mental health and take their focus away from learning, even as some of the researchers say the issue is less clear-cut. Why are we stuck on children's mental health right now? Remind me when we get on the other side of top five and five before I start back on Henry Louis Gates Jr. Talk about why it's dangerous what we're doing about children's mental health. So just remind me of that. Children's mental health. All right. Because I'm a little stumped by that, but I digress. Approximately 26% of Wisconsin's public schools districts. And so I was wondering, like here in Milwaukee, do we restrict phones at some of the schools? Do we? Well, Wisconsin, as of 2025, Wisconsin Policy Forum analysis of the state's digital learning survey, 26% of Wisconsin's public school districts have now implemented a full ban on cell phones. That's and
Let's see, another 43% permit phones in common areas. 20% have a full, complete, total, no phones at school, period. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm trying to think. The youngest, how old was my youngest when she got a cell phone? Maybe 9 or 10. Because we both worked during the day and we weren't necessarily accessible. I'm trying to remember. Because at the time, we couldn't see a reason why she couldn't have a phone other than everybody else had one. In that instance, yeah, we were that kind of parent.
Number one.
This is a story that excited me because when I read it, I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So those of you that are thinking about going to HBCUs from Wisconsin, from Milwaukee, if you're thinking about it, well, blackenterprise.com has a great story. LinkedIn has rolled out its ranking for the top HBCUs for alumni success. Now, this is not while you're at the school or what your ACT score, your SAT, your MCAT to go to medical school, LSAT, it ain't about that. It's about where do the most successful black people who went to HBCUs, what school did they go to? I find that very interesting because number 10 on the list is a surprising school. Now, let's do this. Let me just ask, how many HBCUs are there, you hear me typing, in the United States? So there are 107 historically black colleges and universities in the United States, according to the U.S. Department of Education. Out of that, this is less than 10%. Only because they got seven, right? So I can say that. Top 10%. Top 10. Morgan State University. Number 9. And can you tell me what each of these schools is known for? Morgan State University. Xavier University of Louisiana. 88% of, a few years ago, 88% of black medical doctors and black dentists did their undergrad at Xavier. One of the toughest undergraduate science programs in the country. Clark Atlanta University, Florida A&M. Number 6 is Tuskegee. Number 5, Hampton University. Number 4 is North Carolina A&T State University. Now, the top 3 you should know or should have an idea that LinkedIn found with data evaluating career outcomes of alumni, who takes the top 3 spots? Number 3, Spelman College. Number 2, Morehouse College, which leaves what? Number 1, Howard University. Howard University has its own medical school, its own school of education, and its own law school. Anything you could ever learn about anything. And they have an outstanding theater and communications program. Anything you could want to learn about anything, you could send them. I would hold Howard University in terms of intellectual, stimulating education equal to an Ivy League. But that's just me. It's just me. Now, before we go to break, children's mental health. So one of the things we have to be careful of is when we start tracking children's mental health for the sake of tracking mental health and ask questions that are leading, we're going to cause some students undue stress for the rest of their lives. For instance, have you been having any bad thoughts? Have you been thinking about harming yourself? Have you been wishing you were never here? Well, number one, I don't know of a human being in the world that hasn't thought that. If you haven't thought it, you will. Life's going to happen. Situations are going to cause you to think and do things that you wouldn't normally do. You'll come through it. However, asking a child that, and if a child says yes, you then start to put them on a regimen of therapy and pills when they were simply having a thought in the moment, puts that kid on a list that forever they will always be thought of as someone with mental health issues. Now, is that needed in some instances? Absolutely, yes. I'm not saying don't take care of our children's mental health. Just be careful. Be careful not to tag a kid special ed when in fact they only have ADHD. And that building in certain things in their day can cause them to do as great, if not greater, than the best students that you actually have. Don't just run with the group.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. You know, the reason I'm talking so fast is because I found Black Parade, but I couldn't find a clean version of Black Parade. Because, you know, Beyonce be saying some stuff and her husband be doing, he be doing some stuff. So I'm just saying. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me see. Life Upon These Shores. Yeah, that's the book. As far as McDonald's, he was loving it. Y'all, man. Mal said, I haven't seen, where is Kwanda? Haven't seen her. Tried to ask Sharon of people being blocked for any reason, but he's not giving me the chance to ask. No, nobody's been blocked. No. Sincere Ryan, if it real, it may be from the Truth team because I was black. It's on our channel. I don't know. Somebody said, that's not right, blocking people. Well, first of all, we don't know whether or not somebody got blocked, number one. Number two, I didn't log in, so I don't know who, well, the Truth owns the moderation. So we'll check it out. We'll have somebody check and see on the Truth. We'll have somebody, yeah, they have. We'll have somebody check on the Truth and see. We'll look into it. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Yeah. So we'll do that. I will definitely look into it. Give me till next week. Don't be wanting. I want automatic right now, this day, because y'all know how y'all get. Y'all get a little beside yourselves. So where were we? Before the break, we were talking about the new century. Let me back up one. Civil rights. Black power. From about 1945 to 1980, there was a fight that went on that was nonstop, never ending, always going, to fight against segregation. Now, from a legal standpoint, I don't know if people understood what the fight was about. The fight wasn't necessarily to end segregation. The fight was to end, and this is my rendition, so if you differ, I can respect that, was to fight the ability for someone to stop us from doing something we wanted to do, which is markedly different from segregation. Black people self-segregate. I self-segregate. I'm in organizations. You ready? I'm in organizations that only black people can be in. I'm in organizations that are only open and welcoming to black people. I have no problem with white or Hispanic or Asian or Pacific Islander or straight, gay, whatever. I have no problem with people saying, these are the people that are welcome here. These people are not. It's by invitation. I have no problem with that. Like none. But I don't understand why people get mad when self-segregation is something we seek. I tell the story. It was when I got transferred from District 6 late shift to District 7 day, late shift and then day shift, and I was working in a neighborhood that was predominantly black, I absolutely loved it. Does that sound weird? But I absolutely loved it. Working around people that looked like me. Some were good. Some were elderly. And some were criminals. And they had to lock them up too. Had to help them too because many of them were victims. Montgomery bus boycott, sit-ins, freedom rides, people killed that came from the north to the south. But then we have black power. When I was growing up, Malcolm X was always looked at as a negative. Oh, you should follow Martin Luther King. But there's a time and a place and a reason for Malcolm X. Let's remove religion from both of those men. Let's remove it from Minister Malcolm X. Let's remove it from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Those men were two sides of the same coin. How they looked at civil rights and black power differed. But what they wanted in the end was the same. The question remains, and it's something that will forever haunt me, is we keep talking about integration versus self-determination when we should have both. You can be self-determinant and be integrated and be just fine. Now, many whites will have a problem with it. Many of them won't like it because your culture is different from theirs. Your actions are different from theirs. And when you believe you're in the majority and when you feel like you have that power, you speak up. I don't, but most people will speak up. I've been in groups where people have said things and done things that were markedly, culturally white. The assumptions they make, the questions they ask, that I completely and totally differ with. But were I to say something, I'd be looked at as if something's wrong with me. So in many instances, I choose not to say anything. Can you imagine that? Me not talking? Anyway. But then we became part of everyday life. Athletes, entertainers were able to play in a NBA or an NFL with other white players. The problem with that was the media shaped the perception then. Remember what Joe Biden said about Barack Obama? He was good. He was clean. What does that even mean? Or when the white sergeant told me at District 6, I'll get it, District 6 during late shift. Yeah, but you're different. What does that even mean? Oh, I'm more like you. Got it. When we come back, I want to look at this century. I want to look at the beginning of the 21st century. I want to look at the politics that created what we now have, what I call racialized debates, where we're so divided by race, by left versus right, conservative versus liberal, Republican versus Democrat, that nobody listens to anybody. We refuse to accept both sides. And that if you actually have 1% of the other side, then you're considered not worthy of being it. You know what I'm talking about. We do it to people when they're black.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Well, all right. Start ya. Citizens of the universe, recording angels. We have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Light year groove. All right. You hear that noise? Ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down. Hit it, fellas.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. The Truth is the proud home of Marquette University High School football. 2025 football season starts tomorrow with a bang as we have two big-time matchups with two traditional football powerhouse programs. Tune in tomorrow night, Friday. Marquette High Hilltoppers hosts the Arrowhead Warhawks. Kickoff is at 7 football on Friday night on The Truth. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All. So make sure you come hang out, listen to them, come back tomorrow. Hustle on over to Riverside University High School from 11 to 3. Oh, we're just going to have a great full weekend. So make sure you just, you know, come show up and have a good time. Now, before the break, we were talking about this new century, this place where we are now as it relates to black people in America. Our voices, our visibility. On a side note, where to go? There's breaking news. Villanova University reports there's an active shooter on campus. They're telling students to lock and barricade doors. That's in, you say Pennsylvania? Okay. Philadelphia? I don't know there. So, you know, if you know somebody that goes to Villanova, don't call them because they're busy. Okay? All right. Villanova University, active shooter on campus, telling students to shelter in place. So if we get something between now and 6 o'clock, we'll update you on that. But just so you know, school hadn't even started yet, and already. So Reagan-era politics, mass incarceration, debates about welfare and crime. So towards the late 80s, early 90s, we had created this breadth of welfare recipients that showed black people as the face of the poor. Now, we already know that the percentage of black people is higher, but because we're only like 13% of the population, the actual number of black people in poverty is significantly less than whites. But we like to play the game. We like to look at, you know, 15, 20% of 65 of 100 and some odd million versus, I'm just picking a random number, 20% of a smaller number. It sounds bigger. But that's the fear. When you start to use percentages to talk about black people in relation to whites, it's unfair because there are more whites than blacks. So the percentage and the number of whites versus the percentage and the number of blacks in actual individual people, more whites on drugs, more whites in poverty. And I dare say, going out on a limb, more whites committing crimes. And when you talk about unreported crimes, it becomes even higher. So what did we get? You're coming out of the funk era. You're coming out of the Parliament funkadelic. And you move into the mid-80s, early 90s. You got the rise of rap. And even then, the studio executives, the music executives took a genre of music, and instead of having to deal with it on its own, like spoken word, poetry, rap, neo-soul, let's call this hip-hop. And we allowed it. And so now people have this thing ingrained in them, even though people argue all the time, you know, hip-hop is inclusive of everything. That's the problem. It's like calling the Latina and Latinos Latinx. See, I can get rid of all the multiple ethnicities if I simply put all y'all in one group. Oh, what kind of Latinx? We don't really care if the culture of Dominican Republic is different from the culture of Venezuela, which is different from the culture of Brazil, which is different from the culture of Argentina. We don't really, or Nicaragua. We don't care. Let's put them all in one group. And then that way we can what? Dismiss them all in one group. And that's what's happened to black people. The black diaspora is vast. Think of all the different countries in Africa, but yet they always call us African. Why is that? I have family from Beninois, family from Nigeria. I know people from a good number of different African countries, but yet we're lumped into one. Why is that? It minimizes you. But you're quick to be Irish American and Italian American and on and on and on and on. But then our influence became global. When you're hearing rap music from America in London on the east side, when you hear them quoting politicians like a Barack Obama, like a Condoleezza Rice, like a Colin Powell, like a Jesse Jackson, like a Martin Luther King. Now, many people will argue, and I know I'm about to start an argument, and I only got 3 minutes, but the rise of Barack Obama. We know there were certain movements in Chicago that made very specific points of interest to put a black man in the White House. Walked them through state of Illinois, walked him through becoming a U.S. senator, and before his term was up, he became president of the United States. If you ever want to go back and read about a guy, there's a guy named Saul Alinsky that makes Democratic politicians. And he paved the way. I remember sitting in Chicago and attending community activist meetings and being in the room with the light-skinned, skinny guy who was from the University of Chicago as an adjunct professor with the funny name. Doesn't matter why, the outcome matters. So with Jesse Jackson starting his presidential bid, and after centuries of struggle, the symbolic things that were done but never followed through on, we had elected our first African-American president. Today, we have a black mayor in Milwaukee, which you should be proud of. We have a black county executive and a black chair of the county board of supervisors that we should be proud of. We've never had a black governor. Many people say, why is that important? It's the old adage from 100 Black Men. What they see is what they'll be. If you can see somebody become president, see somebody become mayor, see somebody become an alderman or woman, you can do that too. So suffice it to say, our origins through slavery, our fight for freedom, the Reconstruction, the Jim Crow, the cultural flowering as we grew and enculturated and inculcated American life, American culture, American capitalism through civil rights and black power struggles and politics today, to watch other people take our own culture, use it, and then turn it against us, came to fruition with the election of Barack Hussein Obama as president of the United States. And it's something we should be proud of, something we should always look forward to. Something we can remember and tell our children what it was like, this life upon these shores.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
It's one of those days. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe Show's coming up next. We'll be hanging out here a bit. Hey, I want to remind you, download the Truth app, and you can listen to all 24 hours right here, live and rebroadcast. Just go to the App Store, Apple or Google Play Store, and download the app. I can be in your face all day. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. It's been great. Thank you, X. Appreciate you. He showed up today. Look at him. You know I got a t-shirt with your two earrings on. Come on, nah. So fun.
I show up every day and provide quality work.
I didn't ask you to talk on my show. Did I ask you to talk on my show? Did I ask you to
yes,
talk on my
show? Yes.
Okay, well, don't tell everybody. Man, always busting me out. No. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. God bless. Take care, y'all. I'm out.
Be quiet.